Well, good morning, everybody. Morning, all. Good to see you. Good to be here. I think I knew this morning would be a bit chaotic in the new room, a bit suck it and see, well, you know, do what we can do. I didn't quite realise to what extent it would be that. I wasn't expecting to be preaching this morning, but there we are. God's will is done always, which is great. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to preach to you, to have this opportunity. We're going to be looking, as you can probably see, at God as our perfect Father. That's what we're going to be talking on. This, I'll say, I'm not going to just pretend that I just frantically wrote this morning. This was one I had in the bank, this message. But I think it is one, you know, I genuinely think God has been working to make this a message to be heard this morning. And even, you know, this morning, as I was earlier on frantically getting my head in the game, I just felt God say to me that I think there's a lot of people who are part of us as a church who just don't know God as their Father, really. They don't know the goodness of that. I wonder, you know, do you know God as your perfect Father? Do you know what that means? Do you know the joy there is to be had there? It's just a question to ask yourself as we look into it this morning. And this morning as well, we all know, don't we, that everyone, whoever you are, whatever culture you live in, whatever, however old or however young you are, everyone has got some kind of worldview, haven't they? Or some kind of philosophy, a way that we look at the world, which defines ultimately everything else that we believe about the world. Do you see what I mean? We've all got that, haven't we? In church or outside church, everyone's got their own worldview. What do you think that the most common worldview in or philosophy in 21st century Britain is for people? What do you think? Just have a thought to yourself. What do you think the most common belief system that people have that defines everything else about the way they live? I think it's probably something like this: do whatever makes you most happy, believe whatever makes you most happy, just don't hurt anyone. Something like that. I think that's what most people in our country believe and hold to. That's their worldview that defines everything else they believe. Of course, I mean, no one fully believes that, do they? No one totally believes that. We all know there are some things which are not okay to believe in or to enjoy doing. Even if there's no victim, there's still some things that are not okay. That's certainly true. But basically, that's what most people believe in our culture. And it's certainly, I think, the message our media communicates, isn't it? That we get through from our media. And maybe this would shock you, maybe it won't, to hear that I largely agree with that philosophy, with that worldview. I think everyone should just do and believe whatever makes them most happy. But, which you probably expected, there is a but. Here's where I would differ from most people who hold to this worldview. Most people say everyone is different, and different things make different people happy. Which again is, of course, true to an extent. I was very happy that Chelsea won the league last year, but other people are less happy that Chelsea won the league. Obviously, that is true to some extent, but I would argue that whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you have done or not done, there is ultimately only one thing that can make you truly happy. That exclusive thing, that unique path to true satisfaction or contentment is knowing God as your Father. I believe that is the only thing that can truly satisfy you and me. So do whatever makes you happy. Yeah, sure. Nothing will make you happy other than knowing God as your Father. Knowing that you are a child of God. And here's the good news. We can all know God as our Father this morning. We all have that access. We're just going to be reading a couple of verses this morning, so if you've got a Bible, then why don't you grab that out. If you haven't got one with you, but you'd like to open one up, then one of our welcome team will bring one to you. So if you just put your hand in the air, then someone will bring one to you. Hand over here. If you just stick it up nice and clear, if you haven't got one because you don't own one, then you can take it home. We'd love for you to have a Bible. We're going to be in 1 John, book of 1 John. We're just going to be reading the first couple of verses in 1 John. So why don't you turn there now. I'm going to put it on the screen as well, but it's helpful to have it in front of you. 1 John 1 to 2. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." So we're going to read this morning. It's our passage. There it is. All who receive Jesus and believe in his name become God's children and know God as their Father. All can know true satisfaction in knowing God as their Father. What are some of the implications of this verse? Well, firstly, not everyone is a child of God. The world does not know him. We're all made in God's image. Every one of us is made in the image of God, but only those who have believed in the name of Jesus have become children of God. That's, you can see that implied in this passage. So we need to be adopted into God's family if we are to become children of God. It says in the Bible that by nature we are children of disobedience. And so if we want to be adopted into God's family, we need to be adopted out of our natural family and into the family of God. And then we can know God as our perfect Father. I'm going to talk this morning about how we can know happiness by knowing God as our Father. And I'm going to focus on two areas where we can know this deep satisfaction and contentment. Going to be looking at satisfaction in who we are and satisfaction in who God is. Satisfaction in who we are and in who God is. Before we dig into that, I just want to say I know the reality is many of us will not have had very good fathers. For whatever reason, for many people the term father has just got negative connotations. The term dad has just got negative connotations, and it can be difficult to even conceive of what a perfect father is and looks like, let alone know God as your perfect father. And I'm fully aware as well that that is not something that can just be healed of in a moment. It takes time to heal of things like those. And certainly not by some glib statement that I could make or anything. But saying that, there is some truth. Here is the truth. Firstly, God's character is not determined by the quality of our dads. Our dads may have not been very good at being dads, but that doesn't mean that God is not good. And secondly, obviously, no earthly father can truly show what our heavenly father is like. No earthly father does. Every one of us, whatever our earthly dad is like, despite this, does have access to Jesus, through Jesus, to fully knowing God as our perfect father. Jesus is an example of this himself. His earthly father wasn't perfect. I mean, he looks like he was a decent father. Joseph, he looks like he was a good father, but he wasn't perfect. And yet, Jesus could still know God perfectly as his perfect father. So whatever your father is like, whatever your earthly dad is like, you can know God as your perfect father. Don't believe the lie that you can't. So how? How can we know satisfaction in who we are by knowing God as our Father? Question, who are you? Who are you? Think about that for a second. That's a big question, that. It's probably as big as they come. Philosophically, just huge. Who are you? Wow. Who am I? Big question. Maybe just try and answer in a few words or a sentence in your head. Just who are you? Well, I'm Joe. No. Who are you? Who are you at your core? You can answer the question based on many things. I've been known personally to define myself by my sporting prowess. Now this is serious confession moment. Okay, so. Are you ready for this? This is an embarrassing moment for me, but there we are. It's good to be vulnerable, isn't it? And good to be open. I have genuinely had this thought in my head before. I've been in an environment not too dissimilar to one like this, in a church setting, during a time of worship like we've just had, but probably a lot more people, and I've been in a time of worship, supposed to be enjoying the presence of God, my Father, and this thought has popped into my head. Do you know what? Looking around, I'm probably the best footballer in this room. Oh, thanks, Jem. Thanks, Jem. Isn't that ridiculous? What a loser. That's what I've done. That's my confession moment. But there is, I've defined myself by my ability to kick a pig's bladder around with my feet. And it's pathetic, but it's not a million miles from what we all do. Apart from knowing God as our perfect Father, we might define ourselves by any range of things. Perhaps you construct yourself by the roles and accomplishments listed on your CV. You think, you want to know who I am? Well, look at my CV. You might identify yourself by your lineage or your ethnicity, by your job history or the schools you attended, by your marital status or parental role. I can easily do that. Perhaps you define who you are by your political leanings or the object of your sexual longings, which is a big one in our culture, isn't it? Your sense of self might be based on money or your lack thereof, on your achievements or on your failures, on the approval of others or on their rejection, on your self-esteem or self-hatred. Perhaps you think your sins define you. You know, you're an angry man, an addict, you're an anxious people pleaser. Maybe your afflictions define you, your disability, cancer, divorce. Even your Christian identity might anchor in something that is not God, Bible knowledge, giftedness, or the type of church you go to. Clearly, there are loads of things we can define ourselves by. And I don't know how you answered the question, how you would answer the question, who are you? The thing is, we endeavour and we do our best to find our satisfaction in how we define ourselves. The common denominator in all of those things that I just read out is that they are all temporary. I will not always be a husband, and I will not always be a father. All of those things are temporary. And if, or rather when, they are taken away, what is left of us? Who are we then? Not long ago, I was reading about a fairly successful pastor in America who's actually Billy Graham's grandson. His name is Pullian Chavijan, which is a great name, isn't it? He's written many books, been relatively successful. I've read one of his books. It was a great book about Jesus and how he's accomplished everything. But basically, this guy made some big errors, and he had an affair and destroyed his marriage and his ministry and just wrecked his own life. And I was reading an article that he'd written a couple of months ago, which was 2 years after this had all come out. And it was pretty dark, pretty brutal article. He tells of how he'd basically come to a place where he spent 2 hours researching the best way to kill himself. It was a dark time that he'd gone through. And he concluded, and he included his suicide note in this article. And he talks about how he felt like he had lost his identity and who he was. But then he concluded his article by saying this. So, whether you're a pastor or an ex-pastor or just a beat up and burned out human or whoever you are, here's the good news. Who you really are has nothing to do with you. How much you can accomplish, who you can become, what you've done or failed to do, the size of your church or the size of your sin, your behavior, good or bad, your strengths, your weaknesses, your family background, your education, your looks, and so on. Your identity is firmly anchored in Christ's accomplishment, not yours. His strength, not yours. His performance, not yours. His victory, not yours. The gospel doesn't just free you from what other people think about you. It frees you from what you think about yourself. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this a wonderful gospel we've got? Knowing God as your perfect Father is the only lasting identity that is available to mankind. It is also the only identity that will satisfy you and bring you deep, lasting contentment. It frees you from the need to achieve anything or to get anything. It's the only thing that frees you to be content in who you are, regardless of all your other circumstances. So the list I read out just becomes irrelevant. You may be rich, you may be poor, single or married, successful or not, however you measure that. Healthy or sick, gay or straight, angry or timid, but none of that has any bearing on who you are and how satisfied you are. It's not that we don't do anything or don't achieve anything or don't try to do anything. It's just that we do those things out of a service to God rather than just to boost our own ego and identity. It's easy to get bogged down by all of these things, isn't it? This defining ourselves wrong. For us to worry about what clothes we have, what job title we have, what furniture we have, what pension plan we have, or what contingency plan or insurance we have if disaster struck. And these things can define us. Here's a bit of a cruncher to kind of nail the point. Think about Jesus for a minute. I'm just going to read a description of Jesus, which is found in the book of Colossians, which Paul writes, this is Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him everything, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's a fairly impressive description of someone, isn't it? And yet, with all of those things being true about Jesus, how is Jesus himself defined? How does God the Father introduce Jesus at his baptism? He says, "This is my son." If Jesus can be and do all of those things and still find his identity in being a child of God the Father, then how could we ever think that anything that we can do or be would ever beat having our identity in being children of God? Our scripture says this morning, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. If you're a believer this morning, then define yourself as a child of God and find joy in that. That is who you are. You are a son or a daughter of God. Another great verse is John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. If you don't believe in Jesus this morning, if you're not yet a believer, then become a believer. Believe in Jesus and claim your right to become a child of God. And you know what? You will find incomparable joy here in being children of God. Knowing God as our Father brings satisfaction in who we are. How does it lead to satisfaction in who God is? Satisfied in who we are and our identity, okay, but what about in who God is? Whoever you are, I don't know, whatever your church background or not, think for a second, how do you approach God? How do you relate to him? Think about it for a second. Do you approach God like a line manager? You come before him like a line manager, like a monarch? You come and say, Your Majesty, like a friend, maybe, like a headmaster, or a granddad, a lawyer that represents you, like a local MP, or your psychiatrist, and you come and just offload, or your uncle, I don't know, or the judge of the High Court. How do you approach God? How do you relate to God? Now, the reality is, isn't it, that we'll all have a mix of those kind of things and a bit of one and a bit of another. It's not like we exclusively approach God as our uncle or whatever. It's all a bit of a mix, isn't it? But I don't know what you think of when you hear the phrase perfect father, or even if that's a phrase you generally relate to God and to who he is. But that is who God is. You know, God is Father. Eternally, God has been Father in the Trinity. He has been sending his love and sending his Son and his Spirit. God is our Father, and that's how he longs for us to primarily relate to him. Since becoming a dad myself, which will be 3 years ago in September, I feel like I know a bit more about God's Father heart, his love for his children. I'm not a perfect dad by any stretch of the imagination, but God is teaching me. He's teaching me stuff about himself and his own heart for me through my experience of fatherhood. So I remember when Zeph, my oldest son, was born, and I mean, it was great. It was, you know, one of the best days of my life, but the first few weeks, pretty tough. Not easy. Well done, Lizzie, John. Good job. It's not easy, is it? You just got this baby, and it just cries and poos and eats and sleeps and then cries and poos and eats and sleeps. And that's it, really. And, you know, they're cute, but they just don't do anything. And they don't give anything back. It is all take, take, take. You're doing a great job, Lizzie and John. You're doing a great job. It's great to see you this morning. There's no gratitude, though, is there? There's no smile. Nothing. I remember I had a newfound respect for my parents. Does anyone else have that? Newfound respect for anyone who's ever been a parent, really. But yet, despite this reality, do you know, I deeply and totally loved him. More than I knew I could. And when he started to give a bit back and to smile and to crawl and walk and talk, and now he tells me he loves me as well, and it's great. When he started to do those things, yeah, it's great. I was really pleased, but it didn't make me love him anymore. He can do or not do whatever he wants. My love will remain the same for him. And you know, that is how God feels about you. He formed you. He loves you deeply and totally, whoever you are, whatever you have or have not done, God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. And it is knowing God like this, it is in knowing God like that, that we can know true satisfaction, true joy. A lot of people, non-Christians and Christians, don't view God like this. Like a father who loves us relentlessly, regardless of what we do or don't do. You might have heard people say things like, I don't think God exists, but if he does, then he must be an evil character to allow all the suffering that goes on in the world. And we can do that too. We can call God's character into question sometimes. And, you know, there's no denying we live in a messed up world. Life isn't fair, is it? There is rubbish stuff that goes on in our world. People around us seem to suffer for no reason. We have to watch them suffer. So another moment of vulnerability. Last weekend, I was at my cousin's wedding. He was 22 and he got married. But his mum was dying of cancer. And she was in the hospice, kind of on her last legs. And so they hired a private ambulance to bring her in. And they wheeled her in and she was there. And I'm getting emotional now. And it was great. She was there for an hour and a half and she went back. And then she died on Friday morning. And sucks, man. Sucks. Messed up world we live in, yeah? Not easy. Thanks, Jim. We can easily call God's character into question when we go through these things, can't we? I can understand how people come to that conclusion and think, how can God allow this stuff? Good to be honest with God, to be honest with yourself about how you feel. But the truth is, we need to know and remember, as we've heard already this morning, God is not distant. He's not far off, like many earthly fathers are. And especially, you know, in today's culture, that can be the case. He's close, and he watches over us. Just as we were singing about earlier, and as Guy brought his word, God is with us, whatever we go through. And we can trust him, like a child trusts his father. In 1988, there's an earthquake hit Armenia. It's known as the Spitak earthquake. Anyone remember it? Before my time, 30,000 people died in the space of 4 minutes. Tragedy. Horrendous tragedy. One story that came out of it was about a little boy called Armand, and he was at school when the earthquake hit, and it was in the danger zone where it hit. And his mom and his dad were at home 2 miles away, and when they heard, his parents heard that the earthquake had hit, they ran 2 miles to get to the school to find that it had been flattened. This two-story building was flattened. Armand's dad, he ran to the room where the school was and where his son would have been, and he just started to dig with his bare hands and pull out the rubble. And the services turned up, the rescue services arrived, and they kind of just said, look, it's hopeless, just if you want to help, come and help elsewhere. But he just said to them, you know what, you go away and help someone else if you're not going to help me, but I'm going to dig. And he, with his bare hands, he dug through the rubble, and he was shouting for his son the whole time, Armand, Armand. And he dug for 12 hours, just kept digging, and obviously blisters coming in his hands, just shouting to his son the whole time. And he carried on. 24 hours went by. 36 hours went by. People tried to stop him and say, let's just give up. But they in the end just thought, you know, this is how he needs to grieve. This is how he needs to do this and work through this. But in the 38th hour, he was digging with his blistered hands and calling out to his son, and he heard a faint voice saying, Dad, Dad, it's Armand. I'm here with 14 other boys. So the building had just collapsed in such a way that it had been wedged up, and there was a space where these group of boys had been saved. And Armand shouted, he said, "We're safe." And he said, Dad, I told them you'd come. I knew you'd come." That's who God is. That's who our Father is. Bad stuff happens, but he loves you and he is calling for you and he wants to be close to you. We need to know who God is, just like Armand knew who his dad was. When we get this, and only when we get this and understand this, what God is like, will we be deeply satisfied in who he is. If we can be satisfied in who we are as God's children and satisfied in who God is as our perfect Father, we will be satisfied to our core and happy and content whatever our life circumstances are. Not going to be easy, but you will have a deep joy and contentment. I said at the beginning how the world says, do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. And yeah, I agree, do what makes you happy. But if you are not a child of God, your satisfaction may seem to be full, but it will one day prove itself to be empty at some point. Every other source of satisfaction will prove itself fruitless and void. So what do we do with that today? We all need to know it more, don't we? We all need to know God as our Father more, however much we already know it. But I've got a challenge for each one of us this morning. And, you know, you can take it or leave it, but I just want to challenge each one of us. If the band could start coming up, that'd be great. And keys can start when you're ready. I've got a challenge for each one of us. If you're not yet a Christian, then my challenge to you is to make this the day that changes your eternity. Make this the day that you become a child of God and know true and lasting satisfaction. There's nothing to wait for. Don't delay. Don't waste any more time, but come, give your life and gain more than you can imagine. That's my challenge to you. If you don't know God as your Father this morning, come and become a believer. And if that is you, I'm going to pray in a minute. Just pray along with me. And then afterwards, just love you to come and chat with me or Chris or any of the other leaders here. If you are a Christian, then here's my challenge for you. You ready? Go this week and live your life like God is your perfect Father and see what difference it makes. What do I mean by that? I mean, I kind of deliberately want to leave that to you to figure out. That's part of the challenge. Why don't we all stand together as we look to respond? My challenge is go and live your life like God is your perfect Father and to see what difference it makes to your life. I just mean in all you do, remember who you are. You're a son, you're a daughter of God. And remember who God is. When you feel lonely, remember you're God's child and he's with you. When you feel like a failure, remember who you are and that your Father God loves you whatever you do or don't do. When you succeed, remember it doesn't change your identity. Jesus succeeded more than you and he knew his identity as a son of God. When you are faced with difficulty, don't try and fix it yourself. Just rest in the truth that your perfect Father is there for you. You can trust him, like Armand trusted his father. In everything you do, remember God as your perfect Father and think about what difference that makes to what you're doing. You can figure out the rest. Please do. That's my challenge to you. Your God is a perfect Father. I challenge you to live like that. We're going to sing in a moment and worship our Father God. But I'm just going to pray. If you do want to become a believer, you want to become a child of God this morning for the first time, then just pray with me as I pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you are good. However much we understand or don't understand, I just recognize this morning that you are good. Thank you for your Son, That means that I can become a child of God. Lord, this morning I just give my life to being your son or your daughter. And I commit to that end that I will live my life as your child. We love you, Father God. Amen. Amen. Let's worship our Father together.